This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:38. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now it's time for Today on Twitter, where Bahasa Malaysia is trending, thanks to the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob.
Yeah, this is quite specific. So on Sunday, the PM asked for government agencies, GLCs and the private sector also to use Bahasa instead of English at their events. According to him, it has now become a trend to not use BM in private programs. And he was speaking about this at the opening of the Malay Language International Speech Prime Minister's Cup 2021. And he said that it is the people's role as Malaysians to ensure that the Malay language continues to grow, and that we should be proud of BM is as it is recognized as one of 20 official languages in the world out of 6,000 languages used today.
So this is actually an interesting one, right? Because I feel like sometimes there are things that politicians say that I agree with in spirit, but not in execution or principle. And this feels like one of those times. I 100% agree that we should be proud of Bahasa Malaysia. We should try and use it as much as possible. But on the other hand, when it comes from someone who is often associated with making statements that often are driven by wanting to prove a certain point, wanting to show solidarity to a particular ethnic group, I can also see why this is then read as coming with an agenda. And I think that explains why the responses on social media have been, well, to put it mildly, less than kind.
Yeah, yes. So, for example, we have this from Faisal, who says, these politicians espousing the full use of Bahasa Melayu in business meetings while their anak cucu went or go to international schools and speak English at home, what are they trying to achieve, really? If they want all Malaysians to use Bahasa Melayu, start at home. And I think that that is a tone that we've heard quite often, not just with language, but also with education, hence the bringing in of international schools there. But also, I think the bringing up of the context of the Prime Minister and his past policies in this area is an important one. The other thing to consider, of course, is that sadly, all languages, I think, in any multilingual country are political by their nature. They speak to politics, they speak to class, they speak to all sorts of things. And I'm not just talking about whether or not you choose to speak Bahasa, or whether it is your first language, or whether you default to English. I'm even talking about how it is that you speak Bahasa. What version of Bahasa do you speak? You often have people being scolded in some ways for speaking too properly, speaking as if everything is written. I'm certainly guilty of that. I've written it much more than I've spoken the language. You also have complaints that the language itself has become too mixed, that there are certain words that certain words where we're defaulting too quickly to just sort of adding X's or KS's in English to English words. Oh, parkir is a real... I've talked about this before. I really have issues with that. Tempat letak kereta is fine. It is exactly what it says it is. Anyway, so I just think that when we think or talk about using BM, it's worth asking also, what kind of Bahasa are we using? And if we're trying to promote the use of the language as an official language, as a popular language, as a language of knowledge and proficiency, all of which the Prime Minister also said in his speech, then we also need to think about upping the quality of the language that is actually spoken.
I found it interesting that the question of the private sector came up, right? Because it really depends what private sector are you talking about? What sorts of clients are they serving? Who are the people working there? There are so many layers, right? And I think it is unavoidable. And we have to acknowledge that to a large extent, English is the language with which the world operates. So access to information, when we work with people overseas, that's not to say that there aren't countries who manage perfectly well with their own languages as well. But I do think that that needs to be acknowledged. I personally wanted to point out how my ability to be able to use language, BM in particular, has shifted depending on what it is I'm doing. So I do a lot of arts-based work as well in some of the shows for the station and previously when I was working for a newspaper. And certainly in those contexts, I meet equal number of people who are fluent in Bahasa Malaysia or would prefer to speak in English. And so I felt like that gave me a lot of opportunities to be able to flip back and forth. But depending on the kind of work you do, you might often find that there isn't an opportunity to do that.
So especially for events, I think that's a particularly interesting one because who is attending? Who is attending and also thinking about the collateral that are involved in events. You know, you have buntings, you usually have a goodie bag, you have brochures. I realize I'm now making a very strong argument for events to be more eco-friendly, but the point is that you have a lot of supporting documents, supporting items when it comes to events. And so I'm all for using Bahasa Malaysia more often. But I think that context is important, and also I don't know. I'm just thinking, you know, the value of communication, communicating most widely to the audience that you want to at any given moment. And if you're going to be very prescriptive about that, it changes the way in which events are being run, which is perhaps the point, you know, asking us to rethink the way that we do things.
And I think it is important for language not to be associated so much with agendas. I think if you want all Malaysians to feel like Bahasa Malaysia belongs to them, then perhaps one shouldn't use the language or politicize the language nearly as much as we've seen done in recent times. We'd like to hear from you. How often do you use Bahasa Malaysia in work or at events? We'd love to hear from you. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Li Ling.
So Li Ling says, maybe the Prime Minister should perhaps stay in his lane and steer the country out of the mess we're currently in, rather than reprimanding what the private sector chooses to do to improve competitiveness and attract talents.
So I think I think that that question of competitiveness and attracting talent is an interesting one because, again, I think it goes back to how the global sector operates and our position or relationship with the rest of the world. That said, I also do think that it's possible to do both.
I'm thinking of Japan because Japan, France, Germany are the three countries that perennially come up in this debate, right? It's always the question of, well, if they can do it, if they don't have to have events in English, if they don't have to have, if they don't work in English, then why should we? Why aren't we prouder of our national language? And I think when you make that argument in this context, I think it depends on whether you see this as an encroachment of work as a whole or whether you see it as being limited to events. And here again, I think how you view the Prime Minister and his past efforts when it comes to language or race or culture, that's where it all feeds in. Because if you think about it as events, I don't actually think there's anything wrong with that, right? Product launches, things like that. Those make sense to me. But when you think about operating fully in Bahasa Malaysia in the workplace, I think that's where it becomes a sticking point very much for the private sector and even for JLCs.
We're talking about a statement from the PM who has urged, all companies to use Bahasa Melayu instead of English at their events. And so we'd like to hear from you. How often do you use BM at work or at events? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll check in on your messages after this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:48. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about a number of different things this hour. So earlier on Popit Popit Parliament, the issues of the day in Dewan Rakyat. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Do keep sending them our way. And on today on Twitter, we were discussing specifically the usage of Bahasa Malaysia because of a call from the Prime Minister that more companies, more organisations should use the language in their events for communication and so on. And so we've been asking you, how often do you use BM in work or at events? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's start with, I think, some of the messages on language.
So We have this from Lynette, who says language and businesses should be kept out of political campaigns. It impinges on our economy as global businesses are conducted in English and FDIs like Malaysia because we speak English. We just heard, for example, from a Dutch IT company interviewed today. And I think that therein lies the issue. And it's why earlier I started with pointing out the links between language and politics, because I wish it weren't the case. I wish that we could just talk about our national language in a way that expresses love of said language without it then becoming a referendum of sorts of what politicians have to say and how it directly relates back to majorities, minorities and the like. And yet somehow you start talking about Bahasa Malaysia as an official tongue in wherever and you end up at vernacular schools. This is the path that you end up having to walk in Malaysia. And I think that it is a path that has been set for us by politicians. This is no different. And I agree that ideally, language and businesses and politics should, as far as possible, be kept separate.
Yes, and I don't think it helps at all that even of late, but you know, this pops up every so often, the policing of who gets to use BM for what and how often comes into it, which sort of builds this weird wall around language as belonging to some people and not others. We do have this from Maggie, who says, there's the Queen's English, there's Manglish and there's Singlish. So what's the problem? What's the problem with BM that is a mixture of all the languages that one finds in Malaysia for a truly national language? For example, macha nampak tak kereta yang cun tadi,
followed by sorry lah bro, I tengah busy makaning, which is the full dialogue that Maggie had. I think that, well, imagine the SPM. Imagine how different our karangan would be if we could write, if Bahasa Malaysia were in fact an amalgamation of every language spoken in our country.
It would be Twitter, honestly. It would be all of the joys of Malaysian Twitter, part of our syllabus. I vote for this. I mean, I know educationists will argue, but I think I'm firmly on the side of this.
Man, I would have done better in my Bahasa SPM paper if I had been allowed to do this. Maggie, where were you when I was in school? We also have, okay, this point about semantics, which I think is an important one. So we've been using BM in the bulk of our conversation, and that's because differing reports use Bahasa Melayu as opposed to Bahasa Malaysia. And we have, for example, Ravin, who says, because of Keluarga Malaysia, Bahasa Malaysia now has become Bahasa Melayu. What is the national language of Singapore? It's also Malay. So what language did the 2 PM speak in Singapore? English. What does this say? We still don't know the end game for Keluarga Malaysia. There is a politician's version and a rakyat's version. Whichever version, I hope there is a score at every event that promotes Keluarga Malaysia out of 5 of the VIPs. This is getting quite Squid Game. So 5%. 1 point if the population is 5% below 20, 45% below 45. It goes on to a number of ratios and demographics.
You know, I think, again, this goes back to the notion of language and belonging, right? Or semantics as well. Lok makes a similar point, specifically about the, I think, the nuances of calling it Bahasa Malaysia versus Bahasa Melayu. And I do think that that does change how it makes it feel, in terms of, I personally feel like Bahasa Malaysia feels more inclusive. And I know when I was in school, it was called Bahasa Malaysia. And then yes, when we see the change being made, it's often politically driven, which doesn't help.
Yeah, and I do think that you can't push Keluarga Malaysia, One Malaysia, Malaysians, Rakyat Malaysia. Like, you can't keep drumming these things home and then changing our national language. I did want to pick up on something that Ravin said, which is, I kind of want to listen to Lee Hsien Loong give a press conference in Bahasa.
I think I have heard him briefly speak in Bahasa in some of those National Day events. I don't know. I think that would be interesting. And it would also be a specific kind of message, right?
I don't want brief. This is what I'm saying. A press conference. Challenge him.
So do keep those thoughts coming. Do you use Bahasa Malaysia for work or at events? How often? You can call 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, just circling back to Popek Popek Parliament, where we had Syed Saddiq bringing up this issue of him not receiving funding as other opposition MPs did. And we have this from an anonymous listener.
Anonymous says, the national coffers are supposed to be largely funded by taxpayer money. Allocation of funds to constituencies would not have been according to the MOU signed between the ruling government and the opposition MPs, because the current MOU is the first of its kind. Maybe Syed Saddiq would be sort of more hemmed in if the justification for Muar not getting bencana funds was because Muar's poorer rakyat doesn't deserve the allocation because they didn't contribute much to the national coffer in the first place. I am being sarcastic here in response to the reason for the allocation not being forthcoming. Again, governments should remember whatever national wealth and welfare are entrusted to them in the belief that the chosen government would always put the rakyat first and not punish those who didn't vote for them, nor use national funds as a weapon in their political fights.
So I think that's really it, isn't it? This issue of equal funding for all opposition MPs, it goes back to that question of voting and rakyat and what, you know, one doesn't, the people shouldn't be punished because of their representatives and who they, which side of the line they stand on.
In this case, it's even trickier because, of course, Syed Saddiq is technically at this point an independent MP. And that is why he's constantly making the point that government MPs are getting this much, Pakatan MPs are getting this much, and Moi so far has not. And so I think if you're talking about a politician making choices on the basis of principle and then being punished for it and the people being punished for it, it's especially problematic.
Now, back to that issue of language, really, in Bahasa Malaysia. We have on the line with us, we have Anwar. Good evening, Anwar. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think my thought is I would love to have Bahasa, definitely. But unfortunately, it must be consistent. So when we compare to Japan, for example, because there are consistency in making people to use the language, even all the technology that they develop actually use the same language. So if we purchase any equipment from them, so we can see even the small part always use the language. But unfortunately, like us, we don't have all the resources to, you know, so that we kind of like relying on other countries. So that is why we need one language to allow us to communicate to other countries where we want to use their technology. So like Japan, they can develop everything within their country. So it kind of like having a complete ecosystem for their country, not like us. So we develop here and stop there, and we lacking here, kind of part of the technology here and there. So that is why it's important to have a concrete development blueprint so that we have sufficient in terms of ecosystem to support the development. So it's, then you can ensure that if you use the Bahasa, then it will support the development. So, and people must have you know, the directive program so that they are not changed just because due to gain people attention. So that's why they bring up this issue. So I hope if you really want to use Bahasa, it's not jeopardize the development part, because if you change suddenly, we need to use Bahasa and at all platform, then so whatever being developed now need persons to really understand the program before they can change the word in their system as well. So it's kind of like contribution to the lacking of improvement in our systems.
Anwar, I'm curious about currently, how often do you use Bahasa in your work?
Right, that's a good question. So it seems like I'm from, you know, science background. So it's really hard to use Bahasa sometimes when we need to talk to other science committee from other countries. So when we want to discuss things, so definitely we go back to English. So when we want to translate it, so sometimes there is lacking of word as well, so we need to use quote unquote for certain things. So I think that's maybe the challenge. But if, like what I'm saying just now, so but if we really want to develop this thing from the beginning, so I think I'm pretty much sure we have the words current position. We must have sufficient words belong to Bahasa. But unfortunately, it's sometimes we support, sometimes we change. So sometimes we just ignore it. So that is why one of the words, most of the words, we are lacking in Bahasa. So,
Anwar, thanks for your call. So, do keep your thoughts coming on how often you use Bahasa Malaysia in work or at events. This is coming, of course, on the wake of a call from the Prime Minister that we should be doing so more often. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.